have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Everybody doing? Hopefully y'all had a good week. I know I'm having a wonderful week. This is actually a travel day for me, so it's my first, maybe my second time doing the show on the road, other than being at the Elation Honors. I'm looking forward to that when it comes back up, but this is my second time doing it on the road. Actually kind of love it. Get to get away from home for a little while. No Texas, no Kentucky. I'm kind of hanging out in Arkansas tonight and sitting here in Little Rock just enjoying myself. tonight. I know last week, if you were on with us last week, we were just talking about why we vote. My stance is we vote, well, because it's a right for us to vote. And Jason had a little bit different stance. He ain't really into the voting thing. I'm going to throw a little bit of shade at him because, you know, people fought and died for this right because it wasn't originally given to everyone. But let me see. Kimmy, is Jason on with us tonight? Is he on with us already? All right, no J-Dub. I guess I get to start again by myself. Well, I can make this real quick, fast, in a hurry, and I can just give you a little quick lesson on it since it's just me talking to everybody. Absolutely. You know, I've been voting since, since I first turned 18. The first time I was able to vote, I voted. I joined the military. And I voted absentee ballot every year or every 2 to 4 years I was voting absentee. It's one of the things they encouraged us to do as soldiers was to participate in our election process. And it was a little more difficult back then. I guess that's why I don't have a problem keeping up with who our leaders are today and who's on the ballot. As I'm transitioning from Jefferson County in Louisville, Kentucky, to Tarrant County in the city of Bedford, just right outside of Dallas, so it's still the DFW. It's important for me to get to know who's on the ballot, who are the leaders. You know, I can break it all the way down to my community leaders in both cities. And the reason why I personally do that, and I encourage everybody, including my brother Jason, to learn this because, you know, my kids are all grown. So I'm living in a neighborhood, in an area, in a city, in a town where I don't have kids going to school, but I still got to pay the same taxes that the guy down the street who got 10 kids. I still got to pay the same taxes that he pays, right? Yeah, that's just the way it is. So I want to know what my tax dollars are funding. More importantly, I want to know what they're not doing as well. And I want to know that everybody in my community has a opportunity to thrive. I also look at the city government, and I think of the same thing. You know, I don't want a judge sitting on a bench who I don't want a judge sitting on the bench who says that, I don't know, no matter how bad a woman is, she can always have custody of the kids. I don't want that kind of stuff. I don't want anybody who's for wrong to be leading my community. And I'll do all I can to keep that from happening. And the most important thing I believe that we can do in our society is to vote. I mean, that's the most powerful tool we have. My big argument against anybody who says, well, my vote doesn't count. I urge you to look at the last election with President Joe Biden. Even though President Biden won by over 7 million votes nationwide, the election was decided on as few as about 25 to 30,000 votes. That's not Cedric talking. You can go look that up. Because of swing states. So though the gap was huge, 7 million votes is a lot of votes. But go back and look. Those swing states, those states that he barely won, hey, we're talking 25,000 votes. So I would argue the case for that. I mean, who wants to have another, well, I won't even get into the candidates. Let's just say that Trump was a candidate that I personally did not support. I would not support, not because of him as a person, not because I think he's a vile, idiotic liar and all these other things. No, it's not because of that. I didn't like his policy. You know, he said that, and again, this is how we change this through our vote. You know, you tell me that you're going to lower taxes. And I'm going to be honest, I'll go on the record and let y'all know, I'm definitely in the upper echelon of taxpayers. I'm not a guy who makes $40,000 or $50,000 a year. It doesn't happen like that for me. I'm in a tax bracket where I can afford to pay attorneys that allow me to cheat on my taxes and I can save some money. But, you know, character means something. And I know people tell me all the time, and again, I'm telling you why I vote. People tell me all the time, well, all politicians lie. Yeah, and they intentionally make promises they can't keep. But here's the caveat to that. See, if you are an informed voter, you can hold that politician's feet to the fire. The reason why we have so many rogue politicians, oh, y'all, I'm going to get you started tonight. I got a few scriptures I can quote, but I'm not going to go there. But I just want y'all to know, we can control these politicians, right? Right? We don't want to control them as people, as a human being. We want to control their politics. We want to have a say-so in their plans, right? Right? What's the word I'm looking for? We want to have a say-so in the policies that they set forth so that we are governed in our communities, in our cities, in our states, and in our nation by these policies. See, we want to make sure that, and that's why it's important for us to get out and vote. You know, in a nutshell, that's why it's important. Be informed. Yes, indeedy. Look, there's a thing happening in the news, and it just happened really over the last couple of days. George Santos out of New York. You know, if they vote to remove him from his post, right, in the House, he's out of Congress. They don't have to have a special election to fill that seat. And if we don't get up and vote, let me first tell you, he's removed from his seat, right? In other words, if he's thrown out of Congress, it's because of his behavior. It's because the House, their Judiciary Committee, they've taken a comprehensive look into everything he's done as a politician. He's spending campaign funds basically using campaign funds as if it's his own personal bank account. I'm just going to keep it simple. I ain't trying to go to every detail. I just want y'all to know. But he's treating the campaign funds like it was his money. It's not. There are rules that govern how you can use that money. So again, we're talking character here. So do you want someone like that in office who has absolutely no character? See, that's what you get when you don't vote. That's what you get when you don't exercise your rights. That's what you get when you don't make your voice heard. And so that, again, that's why it's really important for us to get out and vote. Yeah, and I can preach this till I'm blue in the face, but I don't want to do that. I do just want to give you just a real quick, brief history of this thing. If y'all know that when our Constitution was established, when it was first written, not all men had the right to vote. Most people don't know that the only men who had the right to vote were men who owned land. That's right. Basically, wealthy landowners were the only ones. And for a while, there were a number of men there who thought that those were the only people who should vote, even to this day, right? They were like, no, only the rich. We own land. We're rich. We're the only ones who should have a say-so in the government. But when you go to Article 1 of the Constitution, it said, that ain't going to happen, right? So Article 1, when you look at our Constitution, it determined that members of the Senate, think of this, and the House of Representatives, right, that they would have to be elected by popular vote. And the question is, what is popular vote? For those of us who skipped out on all the civics classes and stuff, popular vote is majority rule, right? There's no electoral college in that whole thing. It's majority, whoever got the most votes. Now, the presidential election goes off of the electoral college, right? And the electoral college, for most people who don't know what that does, is just assigns a number of representatives that actually have a vote per state. So we got to stop taking the vote for granted. You know, each individual vote, and I wanted to cover that because each individual vote counts in your state, local election. You see, the individual vote, yes, the presidential election goes by the electoral college, but your state representatives, your Senate, your congressional representatives, it's by vote. It's every single vote counts. And I think that in our society, we don't do a good job of explaining that. You know, it's not done very well. And so back to my story about the Constitution. When you think about how we elect congressmen, how we elect people to the House of Representatives, and also to the Senate, you know, again, it's each individual vote. Then you got the presidency. I'm starting at the top. You got the presidency, and that's the Electoral College. But think about this. Our Constitution originally, it wasn't so specific when it said who could vote, right? Where this comes up, now again, like I said before, originally the mindset of the men who wrote the Constitution, the mindset was only the wealthy landowners could vote. But it wasn't written into the Constitution, right? So let's fast forward to the 1800s. You find that there were a lot of cases where again, this is where we're going to kind of get crazy, where the white men who owned land, they were the only ones eligible to vote. But white women couldn't vote. Nobody of color could vote. And then there were also the disenfranchised people. They couldn't vote, right? So what happened? What changed all of this? You see, excuse me. Along around about the, I'm going off the top of my head. I wish I had a whole bunch of books in front of me. But along about, I'm going to jump up to like the 15th Amendment. One of the things I know off the top of my head, the 15th Amendment was passed in 1869. What did that do? So up until 1869, we got this long succession of only established white men could vote. Disenfranchised people couldn't vote. Black men couldn't vote. White women couldn't vote. Of course, black women couldn't vote, right? Only the established white male, usually landowner with a lot of money, could vote. So along comes the 15th Amendment, right? And what happened when they did that? They passed the 15th Amendment, which allowed black men to vote. Yeah, not black people. Black men were allowed to vote. Now, this is important. This is important. This is really important. Because even though they were allowed the right to vote, they were hit with like what we call poll taxes, right? And poll taxes could consist of like literacy tests. It could consist of guessing how many marbles in the jar. Do y'all think Jim Crow, they made that up only in the South in the 1900s? This is something that dated back 100 years. The reason why these things could change, and I do want to let you know that when black men were given the right to vote, see, they don't teach them, if y'all didn't learn this in your civics class or in history, black people came out and voted. Did y'all know at one point, I believe, now don't quote me on this, I had to go look it up on the internet or something, but I believe approximately 80% of eligible black people who could vote, they actually voted. And we had black people serving in the Senate. Yeah. Yeah. In state houses in the South because of the vote. That's right. See, when we don't vote, we allow people to get into office who are morally corrupt and are just inherently evil people, and they only care about themselves. They don't care about anything or anyone but themselves. And so if you really think about it, if you don't get out and vote, you're allowing a scoundrel to be in office, someone who has no moral ethics or who couldn't care less about us as individuals at all. They only care about themselves, right? And so, again, I'm talking about why it's important for us to vote, but also just kind of give me a quick little history on how we got the right to vote and whatnot. And so fast forward a little bit. Let's go to the 24th Amendment, and I believe that was 1964. And what it basically did was it eliminated all the poll tax. Because y'all know Jim Crow was in full swing. Come on now, 1964, 1965. Come on, Jim Crow was in full swing, had been in swing for 100 years. I mean, for forever. I say 100, but it's probably a little bit less than 100, but close enough, right? And so the Voting Rights Act of 1965 ended all the Jim Crow stuff. It was done. So in 64, the 24th Amendment eliminated the poll tax. So no longer could they ask you how many marbles in a jar, how many whales in the sea, how many fish in a fish tank. You got to give us $50 to $100 to vote. You know, back in the 1800s, black men were paying as much as back then $5 to vote. Man, that was a lot of money back then, especially when an acre of land barely cost that. Yeah, that's right. You basically had to give over a whole acre of land, you know. But anyway, so it was tough. And the reason I'm so passionate about voting is because I understand what my ancestors had to go through to get to. You see, I hear people all the time. Matter of fact, I think one of the arguments Jason made with me last week, Jason said something about the children of Israel, right, participating in the government. And I brought up Daniel, and I brought up the people that God put in position to affect the people who ran these governments, right, whether it be the king's wife or whatever, and God puts us in a place. But look, if God gave you an ability to do something, why would you sit back and expect him to just do it for you? He gave you the ability for a reason, right? And so it's really important for us. See, voting, man, I don't care what nobody say. Voting is a form of currency to me. You ain't going to get no payday, right? Yes, 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 I get it. We can all vote and still not get everything we want in a candidate. In other words, okay, I'm going to come up to modern day Joe Biden, President Joe Biden. I'm going to go ahead and preface this while I can. I hate it when I hear commentators on the news and on different programs say Biden, Biden. They'll say Biden. They won't say always say President Biden, but you always hear them saying former President Trump, and then they accidentally say President Trump. That just burns a hole in my shoes. I'm going to let you know. So I like to refer to the president as who they are. He's the president. There's only one president in the United States at a time, so President Joe Biden. All right, now back to the point I was going to make. Let's use him as a real-world example that you don't always get everything you want in a candidate. President Biden. Sometimes when he talks, he slurs his words. You can't understand him. He goes, and then he'll take a couple of breaths, and then his voice comes out normal. Okay, this is what I have proposed for the U.S. economy. But people get hung up because he slurred those first two sentences. People get hung up when they see him walking across the tarmac and he's taking short, choppy steps. Or maybe because he tripped going up the steps to Air Force One. Or maybe because he tripped on a speaker while walking across a stage. They get hung up on that. Or maybe they look at him and he doesn't talk like a strong man. He doesn't blurt out just anything off the top of his head. Maybe he pauses a second before he speaks. Yeah, I'm going to come back to President Biden. Let's go over to the former President of the United States. He speaks in a very loud and boisterous tone. He seems to be sure of everything, but people are very slow to remind you how he forgets who he's talking to. People are slow to remind you how he forgets exactly what the heck he's saying. All right, Jason, you just made it on. I'm going to hold on for me, though. Sister Kim, she going to unmute you, but let me finish what I'm saying. But they forget how he just simply is blustered. Just what his verbiage tells you is bluster, and he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Okay, listen. So when people voted for him, for Trump, when people voted for him, what were they voting for? They said, well, Trump lowered taxes. I'm going to go ahead and educate you. He didn't lower taxes for you. I will tell you, he lowered some taxes for Cedric, but I'm in that tax bracket. And at the time, I wasn't in that tax bracket, so he didn't even lower them for me. He sure enough lowered the taxes for the corporations, Oh, people say he was good for the stock market. No, he wasn't. He was horrible for the stock market. What kept the stock market going was what? Low interest rates and low taxes. Kept corporations spending money. Kept them buying their own stock. See, they were getting all this money from the federal government buying back their own stock. But I'm not going to make this a financial education. I just want y'all to know. And so let's go back to President Biden. So I gave you a couple of highs and lows with Trump. Now I'm going to give you, I gave you the lows with President Biden. Now I'm going to give you a couple of the highs. What people don't understand is President Biden has given more money to his HBCUs than any president before him. Oh, that's right. All that money that a lot of people argue with me about, they say Trump gave it to the HBCUs. I'm going to go ahead and let y'all know that that was something that was signed by President Obama. But because Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is such a low-down, dirty snake in the grass, and at the time, what? Oh, man, he was the Speaker of the House, one of the majority leaders, what he was. And he would not bring that bill before President Obama. So when Trump took off office, he took it before Trump. Okay, so Trump ain't gave the HBCUs nothing, okay? All right, let's move on. So President Biden has done even more than that for HBCUs. Also, President Biden, this is what he did. This is what I love. The pandemic. We all forget about the pandemic where Donald Trump allowed basically upwards of 1 million people to die for no reason. Had people taking bleach. Y'all heard about the elderly couple. Who injected, the husband injected himself and his wife. They were drinking bleach and they both died. Yeah. I'm just saying. But President Biden, what did he do? President Biden did the right thing. President Biden did the right thing. He encouraged us to be vaccinated. He encouraged us all the way down. Listen, we don't get to people like this unless we vote. We make our points known. We get out and we talk. We make it known. But another thing about President Biden, I'm going to tell you. People talking about taxes. Look, our taxes. No. I'm not even going to go to taxes just yet. It's one other point before I forget. Since I'm talking about the pandemic, what did President Biden do? Oh, that's right. He started handing out stimulus checks. Just because he didn't put his name on the check didn't mean it didn't come from his office. Didn't mean that he didn't authorize it. Oh, wait a minute. It wasn't really called a stimulus, though, was it? It was called, what was it? I forget what it was called, but what he did was instead of waiting 12 months to get the tax credit, for having children, he said, you know, instead of making you wait 12 months and then you fill out your tax paperwork and then you get your check, we're going to give you your check. Here it is. We're going to give you your roses while you're still living. Y'all know how they say give people flowers while they're still living. So President Biden said, we're going to give it to you while you're still living. In other words, he started handing out checks every month. And then when it stopped, what happened? See, I'm just telling you. So before you start jumping on how old he is, and then that's another point I want to take. Think about this. We talk about using your brain and not using your brain. You go back to Trump. The man just blurted stuff out. I'm going back to the pandemic. If there ought to be a way you can inject some infrared light into somebody. What? To kill coronavirus? What infrared light? Who ever heard of such junk? Didn't think about what he said. He just thought of something, and he just started talking. Well, President Biden is a very smart man. He thinks about what he's going to say before he says it. So I'm just going to ask. Sorry about that. I'm coming back. I'm just going to ask, what would you rather have? Would you rather have somebody who just talks off the top of their head, or is Cameo would say back in the day, would you rather have somebody who is talking out the side of their neck? Or would you rather have somebody who thinks things through before he speaks? Somebody who understands people, who understands. I mean, let's look at his diplomacy, right? Who doesn't kiss up to people just because they stroke his ego. People treat President Biden like, they treat him, in my opinion. And they act like they don't value what he does, but at least he's well thought out, right? And he just doesn't take an action just for the optic. He takes action for the results. And so, with that being said, Jason, you on with me? I think Jason on with us. We'll go ahead and finish up what we were talking about last week, man. We got
the hair
sound. How you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm I'm doing well. You fired up today.
Oh man, you know I get a little hyped sometimes when I'm talking when I'm talking about these things. But I'm gonna calm down. But no, I'm not. I'm just saying I am. but I was waiting for you. So I was just kind of going through talking about why we vote. Just a tiny bit of the history of how we came to be. I got up to Jim Crow and then I cut it off, went into what I think makes a good candidate, President Joe Biden, and what I think Trump as a candidate was, you know what I mean, the former. So I just kind of went into that. I'm sure you caught the tail end of that. But so welcome back, man. I can't wait to hear you when you convince me that of your stance on voting. You know, we might as well just jump right in, huh?
Yes, sir.
We got a good 29 minutes. All right, let's go. One of the things I was gonna say, why your vote matters, and I use this kind of as an analogy, but I'm gonna use a different one this time. I was talking about how President Biden, even though he won the election, I think it was 7 million. It was either 7 or 3 million. So if I misquoted it, please don't beat me over here, people. But there's a few million votes. But when you break it down and you really look into his voting, he really, those swing states, he only won by about 23,000 to 25,000 votes. So that, if 25,000 people didn't vote, we would have had a second term of Trump if they didn't vote for President Biden. So one of the reasons, that was one of my reasons for saying I think we definitely need to vote for that reason and that reason alone, because character means something, you know, ethics means something in this country. And the only way we can show that is by our vote. We can be counted. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take off a little bit, Jason. Let me hear what you, you know, where you wanted to go. I'll give you a fair chance to talk because you know me. I'll be trying to take over.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same spot where I recognize the civil impact of voting, right? The election of officials, those officials have, you know, the things they can do and everything that that comes with that, right? Just for me though, I look at not just what it is and the outcome, but I look at, like I always say, why do we do it, right? Why do we spend so much time trying to change their circumstances? And I'm talking straight from a Christian perspective, right? And we hear all day, this world is not our home, right? This is only temporary. There, you know, we have a paradise that's waiting for us, that's always had the way paved, you know, because of the work that Christ did on the cross, right? And I'm reminded of the scripture. I was talking to a coworker about this. We were talking about Peter, and when Christ was on the water, and Peter said, like, "Hey, I want to come to you," and Christ said, "Go ahead." And notice when Peter was walking on water, just like Christ, but as soon as he took his eyes off Christ and he puts his eyes on the circumstances that he was faced with, he started to sink. I say that because I think when we put our focus on the culture that we're in, the community that we're in, and looking to change it not through the work of Christ himself, but through our own means and through man's means of voting, I feel like we similar to Peter, we start to sink.
But wait a minute. Hold on. But see, I think you're trying to merge voting into too many things. It's like you either want hot water or cold water. Even the Bible says I'd rather have you hot or cold rather than lukewarm. But it seems like to me you're trying to have it. You're saying, well, because of Christ, it was like Peter. I can't think of what you're saying about Peter keeping his eyes on God. I don't see how that can't be done and vote at the same time. I don't get it. Because you're saying to me, what I'm getting out of what you just said is, if you spend time focusing on voting someone into office, then you're going to take your eyes off God. Well, then what about the people who get into office who claim that they are they are God's people who claim that they are doing God's work. What you got to say to that? That you focus on the Christ? That you focus on what's right about Christ and getting closer to Christ? Does that not matter? You don't care about that?
Well,
I'm sorry. I got to go there.
When do we as one Christian worry about other Christians other than if they're not living their life for God, right? Someone gets voted into office. And, you know, and they claim to be a Christian and they're not doing Christian things. I'm not concerned about their not doing Christian things because of what their representation of me. I care about that because now we're talking about a salvation issue. You're doing things that don't honor God.
What?
Because of that, that's going to separate you from it, right? See, and that's what I'm saying.
No,
this,
I don't understand that. I don't
that we should be talking to, right?
No, I don't understand what you're saying.
So I feel like,
and I think
I feel like when you talk about voting, And when we really discuss voting, we're really talking about a worldly thing. And, I mean, there's nothing spiritual about voting, right? There's nothing spiritual that, hey, I'm inviting Christ into this situation. I'm inviting God to
why
have
not?
His will.
Why can't it be that? Why can't it
you
be
tell
that?
Me why it can't be.
Because I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't tell you. I don't believe it. So I'm asking you your opinion on a statement that you made.
So I don't believe it's done because, once again, the reason why we vote is we're trying to take control of our circumstances and things of this world. That is a fool.
I disagree.
If we're not trying to change the circumstance that we're dealing with by electing people who are as same values as us to make sure the values that we have matches the values of the elected officials, so they can now change where I'm the circumstance in which I'm existing in. Why do we vote if we're not? If that's not the reason.
Okay, I'm glad you asked. I bet you I vote personally is to have an active role in what my community looks like. That's why
okay.
I vote.
Okay.
That's it. I mean, there's nothing else to wait for. That's it. There's no punchline here. That's the truth. I want
right.
an active role in it. You talk about being a Christian, but then when you look out, okay, let me ask you this, because you know I get excited. Now I ain't mad at you or nothing. Don't take it the wrong way. I just get excited.
No,
so how do you feel about book bans? I'm just talking about some hot issues of the day. That's all. Some hot topics. That's it. We don't have to discuss the whole book banning, but how do you feel about it?
I'm against it.
You're against it.
I'm against it. Mm-hmm.
And so you're against it. Don't you want to say so to make it stop? To make it go away? Wouldn't you agree that it's not just your Christian duty, but it is your civic duty? For not your sake maybe, but for the sake of your kids? That they can go to the library at school and pick up a book? Maybe they're struggling with an issue? Like when I was in high school, I struggled with anger issues. That don't exist to you?
Do I feel like that's my duty? Do I feel like that's my civic duty?
Do you feel like that's your duty as a father, as a parent?
I do feel like my duty as a father is to make sure that, as a Christian, is to make sure that the people that God has put in my life, whether it be in a close personal, intimate relationship, like family members, or even strangers on the street, is to point them to God.
Like politicians? Like politicians?
Right.
Like
politicians too. Right, yeah. So, but then what I'm saying is
like you're trying to have it both ways. I'm not understanding. I'm getting lost.
So what I'm saying is this, like my if I'm ever called to minister to a politician, it's not going to be through my vote. It's going to be through a conversation kind of like Christ did. Christ did not vote on people. He walked with them.
That's not a fair comparison. They didn't vote back then.
Ways to participate in government. Let's not act like there wasn't ways to participate in government. And to your point, Christ did what he was compelled to do as a good citizen.
I disagree. He talked to the politician.
He talked to the politician, but that his participation in government wasn't. And on a political level, it was on a spiritual level. He talked to the politicians about their corrupt hearts and how their corrupt heart is separating from God. And then in addition to, in that leadership position, how their corrupt heart was corrupting the people that were under their authority. He did not talk to them.
That's a great point. Okay, I'm glad you made that point. So then, since you are inserting and you're saying, well, Christ didn't participate in any kind of government, but he talked about the hearts of the politicians because their corrupt ways were corrupting the people. Correct? That's what you said, right?
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's what you said. But that applies today. But that still applies today.
Right.
It still applies. Why do we put corrupt people in office so that they can corrupt people? The preemptive measure is to not elect corrupt people anyway. The preventive measure would be to do what? Speak to the politicians? And I know you don't know every man's heart. We can't. The Bible even says it to us. But I'm just saying we have to be preemptive in everything. And for me, and my argument is, we can do exactly what you're saying Christ did, but we have to do it through our vote. And keep in mind that there are a lot more people on the earth today than there was back then. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
If you think about it, right, if you read through the Bible in biblical terms, how many corrupt leaders were putting in power? How many corrupt leaders came into power and they corrupted the people that they were around? And how many times
Just about all of them.
But the thing about it is this. Once again, now we have to talk about our personal relationship with Christ, that just because I'm under a corrupt person who's telling me to do corrupt things, I have a commitment to follow what Christ told me. Think about Daniel. Think about the three Hebrew boys. They were under Nebuchadnezzar, who was one of the most corrupt men out there. But even under the corruption that he had and the laws that he made, they made a decision to say, no, I'm going to honor my God, which honestly some people would like to say, well, that contradicts being a good citizen. But our citizenship to the world does not overwhelm our citizenship to the kingdom.
Okay. So, but what did Daniel do in that scenario? What did Daniel do? Who did Daniel serve?
Ultimately, Daniel served God, but he also worked for Nebuchadnezzar, right?
Okay, so we know the story of Daniel, so we know that he was a servant of God, but you know, like I know, he was the servant to Nebuchadnezzar. And what did he do? He caused change.
Right.
He did exactly what you're saying, but you're saying, I don't believe God would do that, so I wouldn't do that.
Well, hold on. But how did he get to that position? He wasn't elected. He was chosen.
Nebuchadnezzar was not elected. Nebuchadnezzar was not elected.
Right. But what I'm saying is this. God positioned Daniel for that role. So here's the deal. I'm not saying Christians can't be in government. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God would say, hey.
You're saying Christians shouldn't vote. That's what you're saying.
Yes, I'm not saying Christians can't be.
So how you gonna get into government if you don't vote? You just gonna go up and say, "Hey, y'all, I'll vote for me." If ain't no Christians voting, how you gonna ever get in office?
Because you trust God that the nation will be done.
Come on, Jason.
You think Christians vote for Christian people, right? Because here's the reality. You think Christians only vote for Christian people?
No, I never insinuated that. I didn't say that. Yeah. I'm only repeating to you the words you say. So you didn't hear me say that.
You're asking the question, if the Christians don't vote, how am I a Christian getting in office? Because the values that most Christians have are values that most people want. So just because Christians don't vote doesn't mean that a Christian can't be in the office.
Wait a minute, you truly believe that? I'm asking a question.
No, because you got to think about some of the values. Look at some of the biblical values that we hold ourselves accountable to. It's about service. It's about helping other people. It's about doing those things, right? And that really aligns with a lot of values of the average person. Now, there are some people out there who want to be picking up to yourself by your bootstraps type situation. I believe God uses us to help others.
Okay. I'm gonna throw something at you. again, we're just talking about why we don't vote. And on your case, we're talking about why we don't. I've already made my case to vote. Okay, okay. So think about this. Think about what you were just saying. We're talking about Christians. You think that Christians are the only ones who vote for Christians. Anybody can vote for a Christian, anybody. Okay. Well, think about this. You brought up Daniel, and I just don't feel like that's a fair comparison, but it's good enough. God appointed him to a position, right? I agree with that. But the question I wanted to ask you is this. If I'm a Christian, I'm running for office, and no Christians vote, I'm going to have to appeal to the people who are not Christians. And according to what you say inherently most people want to do, I'm just going to call it the right thing because I don't remember the exact word you use. They want to follow Christ. But what about people who aren't Christian? What about the Muslims? What about the Hindus? They just want to be good people, so they're going to vote for this Christian guy. Well, what about the politicians we have in office today who are forcing Christianity down the throats of people?
I kind of understand your question, but if I understand, one of the reasons why you say you vote for somebody who has like values, right? And if the prerequisite is not for them to be Christian or not, right? I can't say when you go to the ballot that this person has to be a Christian. They have to have values that are aligned with yours, right? And I don't know for sure. You know, but do you if someone wasn't a Christian but their values align with yours, do you feel like you'd be able to vote for them?
It depends on what those values are. Well, no. I'm just going to give you a yes or yes. I think I can vote for somebody who was not a Christian, whose values lined up. Yes, I would.
Right, and I truly believe the opposite. Even if I'm not a Christian, right? Because I truly that's really what people vote. I don't think people vote their spiritualness. I think people vote their values, and if they see values in a particular candidate, I don't know, you know, if they say, oh, are they in the same religious affiliation with me, right? So that Muslim, would they vote for a Christian? They might. If the values that they hold near and dear their heart, they see are in alignment with that candidate. So that goes back to what I'm saying. I don't believe if God says, hey, I got this Christian, and you know, and I want him to be the president of the United States. Right, he doesn't need the Christians to take charge to put him in that place because God has already said it, right? So I truly believe a non-Christian will vote for a Christian. And if that man is supposed to be in office, then he will be there.
But what you're saying already takes place. It already takes place. Non-Christians vote for Christians. Christians vote for non-Christians. That's why it was so easy for me to give you a definitive answer. It already takes place.
Right.
But the problem I have is you're saying I'm just going to leave it up to God no matter what. Even though God has given me an ability to do something, I'm just going to leave it up to God. I'm just saying that's my issue with it. That's all. I mean, because
no.
I believe if you go back into the annals of history, and I was talking about Jim Crow earlier.
Right.
Black men were given the vote all the way back in the 1800s. And when they were given the right to vote, I'm telling you, I think it, don't quote me on it, but it was really high. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 80% of all black men who could vote voted. And we had black men in the Senate, in the House, in state houses back in the 1800s. Back in the 1800s. And it all came crashing down because the Jim Crow South. All of a sudden, black people couldn't vote in the South. All of a sudden, we don't have no black people being elected to our U.S. House, our Senate. All of a sudden, black people couldn't be judges anymore. Why? And so I'm saying, if we don't vote, we risk the chance of that sort of thing happening again. And as for your statement on, well, I believe that God put us in this situation at this time for this reason. I believe it was a godsend. I don't believe it just was happenstance. I don't believe that for one bit. But I simply believe that when God gives us an ability to do something and we're following his will, his word, he'll make it happen. I don't think that we need to sit back like the person sitting on the house during the flood. And when the person died, goes to heaven, and he says, well, I was waiting on you, God. And God says, well, I sent you a log. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. You refused them all. And that's the way I look at the vote. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. That's why I can be so passionate about it, is because, again, our ancestors wanted this right, and a lot of them never got it. And then today, if your vote was not worth anything, I want you to think about this. If your vote wasn't worth anything, then why would people try to take it away from you? People don't break in banks to take selfies. Say, I broke inside the bank. No, they're breaking a bank to steal money. Something of value.
I will not disagree with you about the value of the vote and how the corrupt people in the world understand that it shares the power. And to your point, when the power was given to a group of people that the establishment didn't want the power to have, they made up these rules and laws to take that power away. So I'm not arguing mm-hmm. that you the importance of voting. I'm not arguing that you, like, from a civil perspective, that mm-hmm. it is an important thing. I'm saying that it's not something that, for me, is in God's will for me in my life. And I can't say that about anybody. I would never tell somebody, like, well, it's not God's will for you to vote, right? Because I don't know what God's will for that person.
Yeah, but I mean, do you really feel comfortable saying that you don't think it's in God's will for your life? Or is this a personal choice that you're making?
No, I really feel it's not in God's will for my life for me to vote.
Well,
I truly believe that, right? I truly believe it's not in the will of God for me to vote, right?
I
take us back to Samuel, and when the people were asking for a king, and basically they were asking to be under the authority of man and not God, and how God said, man, this is gonna mess things up, and here we are, thousands of years later, and God's word, just like everything else, comes true. So
we don't even have to go all the way. Really? I hear what you're saying on that. But I don't think you or I are out here asking for a king to lord over us, because we have our king. That would be God. Am I right or wrong? I simply believe that God wants us to participate in our government. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody wants a king, but they don't want to be lorded over. I'm perfectly comfortable with God lording over my life. I can't ever lie to him. I can never cheat him. None of those things. Why? Because he sees all and knows all. I can go to him and bear my soul.
So let's say, you know, we talked about earlier, we vote to participate and change our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
If do we feel like, and this is the question I always ask, is like, if could God make that change in the community, right? If it was the will of God for that community to change in a certain way, God can make it happen, right? So then why do we intervene?
Okay. You want me to answer?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to answer? All right.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the example you used earlier, Peter walking on water, right? Jesus out in the water. Peter says, well, then command me to come to you. Jesus said, come, right? Tell you something. He didn't reach over and pick Peter up and put him in his bosom and hold him. He said, Peter, I gave you legs to walk. I got this water down here that you don't think you can walk on, but I gave the water a command. I gave you a command. No. I gave the water a command. So I said, if you want to come out here, come out here. Peter had to actually do something. So when God wants to change a community, he's given us the power to do something. So we have to do it. Just like Peter had to get on his own two feet, had to climb off the boat, both of his feet touched the water in order to walk on water. He had to get in the water, and he started walking towards Christ. And like you said, only when he took his eyes off God did he start to sink, or when he took his eyes off Christ did he start to sink. I'm saying to you, and I'm saying to everybody, we need to be voting, but like you said, keep your eyes on Christ, right? We need to be participating in our local government, but keep your eyes on Christ. That way, you ain't going to be the one out here sinking. That.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
Let's
think about it. Let's think about
yes,
it, right?
Sir.
So you said God gave Peter legs to walk and the ability to move, but Peter only moves when God told him to. And when he moves on faith. Right? He moved on faith and complete and total trust in God. And when he lost that trust and he started looking at his circumstances, remember, he started to sink and then he started to reach for help. And to me, that's almost how I feel sometimes voting becomes. It's us reaching for help to change our circumstance.
When was the last time you voted?
Huh?
When was the last time you voted?
I can't remember.
When was the
So
you never voted?
I think I voted once in my adult life.
Okay. Okay. Well, hold on. So, like Peter, you got discouraged, so you just stopped doing it. I'm saying, like Peter, you need to pick up your faith and go back to doing what you was doing. Because you can change more lives. I'm just saying.
So, I never got discouraged by the vote. It's just I saw no purpose. Right?
Again. There's a reason you saw no purpose.
No. Maybe you're right. It was a bit of discouragement, right? But it was never something that really appealed to me. It was funny. It was like my mom voted religiously, and this is one of the things we to this day we fight about, right?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The thing is,
it's never been something that makes sense to me, right? And I understand I understand why we do it, and I.
You die down. I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. You can't trust a man, right?
Again, says that? Who says that you can't trust a man?
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say the Bible talks about the human heart, and to your point, we don't know the heart of any man.
You said you can't trust a man, and I'm saying, who says you can't trust a man? Bible never said that.
The Bible says the human heart is a corrupt thing. Right.
It didn't say you couldn't trust a man because look, if truly you can't trust a man, then why would I trust what you call Christian? Why would I trust your motives? You just told me you can't trust a man.
You can't. I mean, honestly, truthfully, if you really think about it, we
I
can't
disagree
judge
with you. I totally disagree because I have trust in you. I trust you. Are you saying that I shouldn't trust you? I'm wrong.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but we can't fool ourselves to say one day that corruption in my heart, I pray to God that it doesn't happen. I pray to God that I stay strong in my faith and my commitment to him, that whatever sinful nature that I have within me never overtakes me, and I commit myself to making sure that happens. But that's a possibility. That's a possibility in every movie. Now, it's not a discouraging possibility. I don't walk around thinking like, this man's got a sinful nature and I'm discouraged in my life about it. It's just a reality.
Well, I'm just going to say that right here. It sounds like to me you're contradicting yourself on a couple of things, but that's okay because I'm sure I contradicted myself too a couple of times. I did want to say, man, thanks for the discussion.
It's always good.
We got about a minute left. I'm still going to encourage everybody to vote. I'm even going to encourage you to vote and really reconsider. But, you know, that's just who I am. I'm going to be excited about it. You got any last words you want to throw out? You want to encourage somebody?
No, I mean, I think it's good that we can have these discussions as Christian men. And just know that we always don't always have to agree, but we all love God.
That's right.
And we can always fellowship and stay and stay in one together and be in one accord.
Amen. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm just going to say, you know, one man to another, you know, I know I love God. I know you love God. And I know we have our ways of dealing with things, but, you know, God has always been good to me, and he's always been faithful to me, so I'm going to do my best. And you know what we say about this time. Thank you, everybody. Hope you have a good weekend. Find something you love, chase it, and embrace it. And that is your Relentless Pursuit. It's Minister Cedric and Jason wishing you a wonderful weekend and a happy Thanksgiving. God bless you. God keep you. Have a good night, everybody.
He's my roommate. This morning with a roof up over your head.
That's my Rosé.
Who provides the thoughts, tell your income, give you that bread.
That's my Rosé.
Remember when you didn't have a thing, you was out the loss.
That's my Rosé.
Then you received double-double, he increased to like a bounce.
That's my Rosé.
Hey, that's my rock. My grind's so good to me. Blessing after blessing, even ones that I can see. I can't thank him enough,
thank him enough. Cause
he done so much,
he done so much.
He's my foundation, my God, he holds me up.
He's my rock. He's the reason I can't stop giving them praise until I drop. He took me from the bottom all the way to the top. That's why I tell the devil get back. Strapped with the word, click clack. And you ain't never gotta wonder what my faith said. I can do all things through Christ. Did you get that? Chase God, not money, that's true fact. I'm obese with belief, yeah, too fat. My foundation too strong so it can't crack. I'm cool when life gets rocky, no ASAP. He laid down his life like a flow mat. That's why I go so hard and never grow back. I'm never searching for a blessing at all, cause he's my rock when my back against the wall.
Cooking, baking up joy like peanut butter cookies. Get a taste of him and your mind start looking. Get the salary, hallelujah, got everybody looking. Yes, sir, he's solid. 10 toes down, he endows me with knowledge. Provide strength when I'm weak in my body. I bounce back with a fight like Ali. The Rosé, gotta know he don't play. The big homie on the block with the most game. I just lean on him like a brick wall. Catch it back when you slack, make the big fall. What a big dog, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for giving life and sending down the Holy Christ. A refuge and fortress of solitude. I'm flexed up with a pencil like attitude.